The word today is disciple. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Many people followed Christ during his earthly ministry, but not all of them became his disciples. What's the difference? Here from our archives with an explanation is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Disciple.
Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and of course, all the crowds more or less probably thought that he was going there to establish some sort of an empire, that he was the leader and he was going to now help them over against Rome and so on. And so there were many, many different kinds of people that followed Jesus. Now, the point I want to make in this particular presentation is that being a follower of Jesus does not necessarily make you a disciple. Being a follower of Jesus does not necessarily make you a disciple. Now, I want to give you a biblical reference here so that you can also take a look at that and you'll get the point I'm trying to make. In the 14th chapter of Luke, verse 25 to 33 in particular, Luke 14, verse 25 to 33, we hear Jesus talking about what at first seems extremely strange. As a matter of fact, Jesus is saying to his followers, you must hate your mother, your father, you know, your sister, your brother, and he goes down the line, you must hate them in order to be truly my disciple, to follow me. Now, obviously, this is poetic picture language, and Jesus is not saying that we should hate somebody. What he is talking about, and this was understandable to all the listeners because they know that language of that day, he's saying, you must put me first. And we have other references throughout the Bible where Jesus says, anyone that is not ready to put me first is not going to be truly my disciple. You remember how at certain times when Jesus called people to follow him, that they said, well, you know, I'd love to follow you, Lord, but first I have to go sell this piece of land that I have. Or others said, well, first I have to go bury my father that has passed away. Or, well, first I have to go and get married, then I will follow you. And Jesus tells us at that point the same thing he's saying here. If you do not put me first, uppermost in your life and in your plans, you are not truly my disciple. Now, an easy way to figure this out in terms of your own life, are you merely a follower? You know, there were all kinds of people that would come out to hear Jesus preach. Some of them were curiosity seekers. They were wondering, well, maybe we'll see a miracle today. Maybe this will be an exciting day. Or no doubt, many of the people were there to get help. Maybe he'll heal me. You know, and they heard about some of the miracles. Well, at one time he fed over 5,000 people. My goodness, wouldn't he be a great leader to follow? And any time you're hungry, he would simply feed you. Or we know that the scribes and the Pharisees and the other negative groups would come and they'd listen in. They were looking for some way. No doubt they would take notes and they would take down quotes and they would try to trip Jesus up. What is he saying now that is against our law? Or what is he doing now that we can trap him? There were all kinds of people that were following Jesus, but not truly his disciples. And so what Jesus is talking about here, and you remember at one point, after all these people began to leave, when they heard about commitment, and they heard about giving, and they heard about sacrificing, and they heard about growing, and so on, that a lot of people began to leave, and Jesus said to his little group of disciples, he said, and will you also leave? And you remember at that point, Peter spoke up and said, "Oh, no, Lord, no. To whom would we go? Where can we go? There is no one else. You have the words of eternal life." And so, getting back to this business of the people that began to go away once they began to see the responsibilities that Jesus wanted to have them commit themselves to, it's called counting the cost. What is the cost? What are you willing to pay for me? Jesus is saying, to put me in first place, first priority, that must be done, or else whatever is in that place is what you are truly worshiping. You see, if there's something that you haven't given over to Christ and surrendered to him, whatever that is, it might be something personal in your life, it might be your mind, it might be having something to do with your morals, it might be money, who knows what it might be, whatever is keeping you from surrendering your entire life to Christ, whatever that is truly your God. That's what you truly worship, and that's what you put in place of the highest priority in your life, and that's what you worship. So Jesus is simply making this abundantly clear. He said, now, you don't enter into marriage, for instance, without planning and without counting the cost. What's involved here? What are the obligations? He uses the illustration of a man who's going to build a building. And he said, well, you don't figure out on building a building without counting the cost. You don't try to determine how long it is, how wide it is. You don't build it without first determining those things. And if you're foolish enough to start something without counting the cost, you could end up running out of money. And the end result, as the text here in Luke 14 says, people will laugh at you. You'll be a subject of ridicule because they'll say, well, he didn't have enough sense to know what he was doing and to count the cost. Now, the minute Jesus started talking about sacrifice, you remember some of his dialogue where he said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a spot where he can lay down his head, something he can call his own. You know, he's telling them it's not going to be easy. You know, Jesus never said it was easy to follow him. What he said was, it's worth it. He's telling us that that's the greatest decision that we can make in our lives. Now, the unbeliever doesn't even have the opportunity to do that because they're slaves, their mind, their heart, everything is in slavery to sin. So first of all, the Holy Spirit has to be there. There has to be a proclamation of the Word of God. There has to be a witness. And God does the converting. God will break into that heart and give them the opportunity for a new life, a new way. And so he's telling those people that are following him here, now, one of the things is you have to count the cost. You have to realize someone may ridicule you. Someone may laugh at you. And he says, whenever someone does that for my sake, you ought to be happy. Actually, in 1 Peter, I believe it's the third chapter in 1 Peter where this is discussed, where he says, these types of persecutions, actually you might as well read the whole first epistle of Peter, it's very brief and very short, talks about this sort of suffering for the sake of Christ. Now, we're not talking about getting ill with pneumonia or something like that. That's an entirely different subject. What we're talking about here is when someone ridicules you and laughs at you because of your faith, because you're trying to witness or you're trying to show that you believe in the true God. And then they mock you and ridicule you. Jesus said, be happy, because your reward is going to come from God. You may not get rewarded here on earth, but your reward, Jesus sees what's happening. He knows what's going on, and he will bless. Christ not only makes this invitation for us to be committed, to be disciples, but he also promises that anyone who will do that will have the blessing of his presence. God doesn't just convert us and then leave us. He doesn't leave us to our own willpower and our own determination. That would be horrible because we wouldn't make it. What God does, he converts us, he brings us into the kingdom, and he shows us his love, he shows us his forgiveness and his mercy. He brings us into his kingdom, and then he promises, now if you remain in me, if you obey my message, if you listen to my words, if you will keep faithful to me, I will bless you. And so he strengthens us. It's so important to have an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ. We have that as we study and listen to his word. We have that as we pray to him. We have that as we worship him. All of these interrelationships between God's word and ourselves are geared by God to strengthen us and to give us endurance when we are tempted, when we are confronted with all the things of the world in which we live. And there's a choice to be made there. Now, as a believer, as a committed child of God, we can make that choice. We can determine, do we go to worship or do we miss worship? Do we witness to our friend or do we say nothing? Do we read God's word or do we ignore it? Do we pray to God and discuss our plans with him or do we ignore it? You see, these are all choices. And Jesus is saying here, now count the cost, be aware. This isn't a cakewalk. It isn't something you're doing just for the fun of it because there's nothing else to do. It's important. It's a priority. It has to be number one. Live that way. Commit yourself that way. All through the Bible, it talks about growing in our relationship with Christ. It talks about maturing. It talks about being defensive against the world and Satan as he tries to drag us away from our commitment. And so God has brought you to faith. If you're a child of God now, it's a miraculous conversion. God has given to you this marvelous gift of salvation. He wants you to understand it should be the first priority in your life, number one, above anything else or anyone else. And he is asking you to do that. Pick up your cross and follow him. Be a true disciple.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.